Romans, very familiar passage of scripture. And what we need to understand here today is simply this, is that the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. While we are looking for new revelation, some of y'all looking for new revelation, some of y'all are looking for new interpretation, it's very simple. Scripture lets us know that there's nothing new under the sun. God is the same God. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forevermore. And whatever is written in his word, amen, whatever is written in his word, God, he still stands by his word. I want to talk to you all because this is what was dropped down into my spirit, amen, for 2017. It's simply this: transformed to perform. Transformed to perform. Now understand, when you look at that word perform, I'm not thinking about no performance, amen. You're not, that's, don't get happy. God's not getting ready to put you on no big old stage, amen, where you can be seen and where you, y'all don't mind if I talk to you for a few minutes, do you? Where you could be seen and where you can be heard. But he's put that in my spirit, transformed to perform. When you look at this 12th chapter of the book of Romans in verse number 1 and verse number 2, so that I don't hold you all too long, and thank you all that stood for the reading of the scripture, but you could be seated because I'm a preacher like the old folk used to preach today, Sister Peggy. Amen. I kind of read on, and then when I get through reading on, then we'll be done with the message. Is that all right? Because I believe that you can't preach a better message than when you preach from the word of God. It might not excite some folk. It might not make you shout. But guess what? It's still the word of God. Because transform to perform. Because when you look at this 12th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul is writing to the church at Rome. Amen. Paul is writing to a group of believers. And what he is really dealing with, what he's dealing with, is the service of the saints. The service of the saints. Amen. And now you got to not become confused with just believers and saints. There's a difference in believers and saints. We have a lot of people that believe. Amen. That's how we are saved, Ellen Mason, because we believe. We confess with our mouth. We believe in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was raised from the dead. Amen. That's how we are saved. But Paul is writing here to the saints because he lets us know that the bottom line is in Christianity that we are saved to serve, not to just sit. Amen. Now that's really what he wants us to know, that we are saved to serve, not to just sit. God didn't save you. He didn't deliver you. He didn't set you free from the hand of the enemy just for us to just sit, for us to just look, amen, for us to just be nonchalant. He didn't save us for that, but we are saved for service. And the service that Paul is going to speak to us about here today is really considered our reasonable service, amen, which means that this is only the minimum. So what I'm getting ready to read here today in this text is only the minimum. Somebody say the minimum. In other words, there's more to it than just this. But Paul wants you to know that it's just the minimum. And many people will look at the call of God and say that it requires extraordinary effort and dedication. When you've been called by God, and I'm not going to ask how many of you all believe you've been called by God, because everybody's hands going to go up and somebody not going to be telling the truth. Because listen, when you are called by God, and when you are called according to God's purpose, amen, it takes some extraordinary effort, amen, and dedication when you are really called by God. And it just seemed like we're living in a day, we're living in a time, and it's everywhere, that saints have so declined in their service that normal looks like extra dedication. Amen. I said normal looks like extra dedication. So if I come to Bible Discovery Hour at 9:30, and if I stay for the morning worship service, and then if I come to Bible study on Tuesday night, amen, that's just the norm. That's just the minimum. It looks like I'm doing something extra. But Paul wants us to know that God wants to transform all of us in order that we may perform. When you look at verse number 1, Paul says, I beseech you. Amen. Now, when you look at, y'all follow me now, when you look at I beseech you. Amen. Amen. Paul honestly appeals to the saints at Rome to really serve the Lord. And I want to do like Brother Paul did. I want to encourage all of us. Let's serve the Lord. Amen. Let's serve the Lord. Because unfortunately, people all too often have to be earnestly implored to serve, for they are unwilling. Some folk are just lazy. Amen. Some folk are just disinterested in God's service. Now, but yet we say we love God, and yet we say that He's the head of our lives. But we become lazy, and we become disinterested when it comes to the service of God. And so Paul said, I beseech you, brothers, and that includes you sisters as well. It's an earnest appeal for us to serve the Lord. And then when you continue to read it, he says, therefore. Everybody say therefore. Sometimes we read scripture so fast until we miss out, amen, on what the author is really trying to tell us. But when you see the word therefore, it refers back to all that Paul had been saying about salvation. Paul was a preacher of salvation. And so in the view of the grace of God and in the view of salvation, we are obligated to serve the Lord. Now, I need you to know service is an obligation. It's nothing that you volunteer. I hear y'all say, I volunteer my service. No, you ain't volunteering nothing. Listen, if you, can I talk to y'all for a minute? If you are saved, hallelujah, and you consider yourself a child of the Most High God, you need to know here today that service is an obligation. Amen. It's no different. Hey God, I don't want to preach long here because I want to get to the main part of what God wants us to know here today. But you have to understand, when a man asks a woman to marry her, and she say, I do, and they come down the aisles, and you go through the long ceremony, you have the beautiful wedding, and you spend money on the flowers, and then you have the big reception. Listen, the minute that the man says to the woman, I do, there are some obligations that go along with being married. There's some obligations that go along with asking her to be your wife. Amen. When Brother Michael asked Asia, would she marry him? He just didn't know what he was getting into, because there's some obligations. Amen. Ain't no need of him going to work every day. Amen. And then when he get his paycheck, complaining about he don't have no money to go buy this and don't have money to buy that. No, you having money is over because there's an obligation. Y'all ain't listening here to me. There's an obligation that you got to keep a roof over her head. There's that obligation, amen, that you will keep food in the refrigerator. There's an obligation. You keep gas in her car. I'm preaching up in here hard right now. There's an obligation that if it means that I got to go out and get another job. Hello here, somebody. Oh, we're living in a new day, and that's why things are so messed up now. Amen. If I got to get out and get another job in order for us to be able to survive, there's an obligation that comes along with you being my wife. Hello here, somebody. And so this is what Paul is saying to us believers here today, that if you are saved, service is an obligation. It's not when you feel like it. It's not when everything is going the way you want it to go. Somebody else say, preach, pastor. I just want to talk. Service is an obligation for every child of the Most High God. And so when he says, that therefore, he is referring back to all that Paul is saying about salvation. And since you are saved, there's an obligation for you to serve. And then notice he says, I beseech you, therefore. Y'all still in your Bible? And then he says, by the mercies, hallelujah, of God. Listen, our churches seem like that they're trying to motivate people to serve the Lord by gimmicks. Anytime you got the Lord, hallelujah, your standards by having gimmicks in order to get folk to serve the Lord, I want you to know the devil is a liar. They go from putting your name on the pews and they put your name in the stained glass windows to a promise of some trinket or some kind of award. Church is trying to inspire service for the Lord. We'll give you popcorn if you come early enough. We'll serve you some breakfast, bacon, eggs, and toast, and you can have some French toast and some coffee and cappuccino if you want. If folk come into church for the bacon and for the eggs, somebody will say the devil is a liar. Because one thing that I do know, if we get them serving bacon, we're going to have to keep on serving bacon in order to keep them. People that come from popcorn don't need to come to church anyway. And y'all talking about, well, we get them here and then maybe they might hear the word of God. Well, let's get them here without the popcorn, without any gimmicks. Hello here. Let's get them here because if they're saved, they have an obligation to serve. I'm gonna feel like preaching in a minute, to serve the Lord. Because let me tell you this, if you cannot be motivated by the mercies of God, you have a great spiritual problem that you need to deal with. If you don't get motivated by thinking about God's mercy, God, thank you, Jesus. We should have been cut off long time ago. But because of God's mercy, because of God's grace, because of God's love, because of God's faithfulness, we have not been consumed. If God's mercy is not enough to motivate you for the service of the Lord, you got a spiritual problem. Hallelujah. Your grace and mercy have brought me through. Hallelujah. Your grace, God, if it wasn't for your grace and if it wasn't for your mercy, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd have lost my mind long time ago. I'm gonna come down somebody's street. You don't deserve to be where you are, but it was because of God's grace, because of God's mercy. And if His mercy don't motivate us to want to serve Him with gladness, serve Him with all of our hearts, with all of our might, and with everything that's within us, if the mercies of God don't motivate us, I stop back here to let you know you have a spiritual problem and you need to deal with it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I'm almost finished here, that you do what? That you present your what? Bodies as a living sacrifice. You have to understand, in order to serve properly, there must be
dedication. Paul says, first of all, the presence in the desert, in the dedication is we've got to present our bodies. God wants our bodies in service. Hello here. My whole body belongs to God. Is anybody can say my whole body? But don't lie up here in church. Don't lie up here in church. If you can't say it, don't say it, because I'm just saying it now. If you can't say that my whole body belongs to God, my eyes belong to him, my ears belong to him, my hands belong to him, my mind belong to him, my whole body, it belongs to God. He said, you got to present your body as a living sacrifice. That's the price of service. It's the price of dedication, that you got to present your body as a living sacrifice. You know what that means? That means you got to put God first. That means you got to put God first in every area of your life. God help me preach here. That means your job can't come before God. That means your kids can't come before God. That means your spouse, because y'all ain't going to shout up in here today. That means your schooling can't come before God. That means that nothing that you own can come before God. You, when you present your body as a living sacrifice, you saying, God, you are first and you are utmost in my life. Everything else got to wait. Look at your neighbor and say, everything else got to wait. I know we got some folk, you ain't ready to make this kind of commitment. That's all right. I ain't trying to push nobody. But I'll stop back here to let you know that if you're going to present your body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, in other words, you ain't doing God no favor. It's because of his mercy you got to do it. It's because of his grace you got to put him first. It's because of his love. You can't let nothing else come between you and God. So your excuses, I'm trying to help somebody, don't mean nothing, because you got to present your body. Pastor, you don't know what I got going on. I don't care what you have going on. God knew from the foundations of this world that you was going to have going on what you got going on, and he still put his word there. But you got to present your body. Anybody looking for something better in 2017? Isn't that amazing? We all looking for something better. But God's got a word. He kept me up. And said he's got to transform us in order for us to perform. Watch it here. Watch it here. Present your body a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. God's tired, y'all. Let me tell you something. Living sacrifice. He's tired of all of our unenthused praise. Hallelujah. He's tired of our unenthused worship. Some of y'all came to church and looking at the choir and had the choirs missing. And y'all did a good job. Hello here. Come on, give the choir a hand. I was kind of nervous at first. But Jenny, when they struck out in that first note, I said, oh, we're going to be all right here today. So they know how to step up to the plate when they want to. But God is tired of all of our unenthused praise. When you say, present your body a living, that's life. He wants us to be energetic. Y'all ain't going to help me here. Some of y'all are going to be more energetic when the Chargers play who today? Nobody, somebody. Whoever they are, some folk going to be more energetic when Dallas plays. I ain't hit your team yet. When the Raiders play, when whoever play, people are going to be excited and they're going to be making a whole bunch of noise. What happened to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands? Serve the Lord with gladness. God said, if you're going to serve me with gladness. Don't serve me with a frown on your face. God said, keep it, keep it, keep it. If you're going to serve me with gladness. God said, if you're going to clap, act like you want to clap. God said, if you're going to sing, act like you want to sing. Hallelujah. You do it because of my mercies. God said, you send up them praise and it stinks in my nostril. Whew. Lord, you remember we was at the hospital late that night when we left the emergency room to go into the waiting room, You remember what that waiting room smelled like? I ain't never smelt a smell like that in my life. And we said, no, we can't sit in here. I said, let's go sit in the hallway. And I went and got the lady, the cleanup lady. And I'm going to show y'all something because it's just like us. Hallelujah. We went and got the cleanup lady. She come in there with a mop, with a little rag and a bucket. And she just walked in like she walked in the fragrance department of Nordstrom's. And she just, we said, you don't smell that. She said, no, I don't smell it. I said, honey, something wrong with your nose. If you don't smell that, and that's the way it is with some of our spiritual lives. We've been so wrapped up. We've been so tied up in doing the same old and the same old thing, the same old praise, the same old delivery, the same old song until we don't even know when it stinks. You can smell bad so long until you don't even know you stink. Somebody say, preach, pastor. Your breath could be bad for so long. You could talk and puff come out your mouth. And you won't even notice it. Everybody else is noticing it. Everybody else can see you ain't got no joy. Everybody else can see you ain't got no anointing. Everybody else can see you ain't got no peace. Everybody else. Well, let me hurry on here. I plan on being through by now. Hallelujah. He said, you got to present your body a living sacrifice, alive, energetic. Can we be dead for just two more weeks? Can we just be dead for two more weeks? Third Sunday, fourth Sunday, fifth Sunday. That fish ain't in his mouth. No. All right, so one more week. Can we be dead? Come on. I'm trying to help y'all. But when the first Sunday of January come, can we be resurrected? Do you all need one more Sunday to wobble in whatever you're going through? You've been wobbling through it for the last 5 years. Are you ready to come on up? No, I said, I didn't say come out. Because God might keep you in there. But while you are in there, are you willing to give God some energetic praise? Are you willing to put your best foot forward? Now, let's get to the point. Let's get to the point. Transform. To perform. Present your body. Living sacrifice. Holy. Somebody say holy. How many of y'all know holiness is still right? Holiness is not a denomination. It's not an organization. It's not a club. It's a way of living. It's a way of walking. It's a way of talking. Paul said, be what? Holy. He repeatedly emphasized the need of high character. If we're going to serve the Lord. Come on here. The word holy certainly emphasizes high character. Holy here means, watch this. It means here holy to be set apart. Now wait a minute. Some of us need to be set apart. Oh God, help me. Y'all hear me say us? I ain't preaching at you. I'm preaching to you. And the word is always to the preacher first. Some of us ain't completely set apart. So I say, Pastor, why'd I have to come here today? We're not set apart. He said, be holy. That means to separate yourself. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. There's a difference between holy and unholy. There's a difference in clean and unclean. There's a difference in being saved or being a sinner. There's a difference between darkness and light. Hello, here's somebody. We trying to play the middleman. And God said, I'd rather you be hot or you be cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to do what? Spill you out of my mouth. Oh, God. Let me talk to y'all for just a few more minutes. It means to be set apart. Isaiah says something in the 52nd chapter, verse number 11. He says, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. We even come in God's house dirty. Ooh. Look at your neighbor and say, help, help, help. We bear the vessels of God dirty. Ooh. Everything in God's house, Elliot, is supposed to be holy. These gungas are holy. The drums are holy. The drumsticks are holy. Those microphones, y'all ain't gonna talk to me. They are part of the temple here. It is holy. And the Bible said we're handling the holy things of God. Choir robes are holy. Why don't you treat them like they're holy? Don't ball them up and throw them up on the shelf. If they were holy, you put them on a hanger. You hang them up. You keep them clean because they're holy. Some of y'all think the only thing holy around here is the communion trays. Come on here, somebody. The robes, Sherry, are holy. That means when we get ready to put the robes on, we got to be holy. That means we got to be set apart. Can I talk to y'all for a few more minutes? I don't apologize for not shouting you. But he says you got to be holy. We got to be set apart. Be ye holy. As I am holy. Set the Lord of hosts. We. Now watch this. We do need some ability to serve. We do need some talent in order to serve the Lord. Now y'all come on here. We serve an orderly God now. Hello. We need some ability, Jenny. We need some talent in order to serve the Lord. But guess what? Ability and talent without character is useless for God. It don't matter how good we can do what we do if we don't have character. We are a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. It means absolutely nothing. Present your bodies, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Our service got to be acceptable to God. We didn't try to please people long enough. Give me a few more minutes. I'm timing myself here. We don't try to please people long enough. All you people pleaser need to be saved. People have a way of trying to intimidate us. What you getting nervous around folk for? God gives you to do something. What you nervous because somebody walks in the room? You know why you get nervous? Because you in your flesh. The only time I get nervous when I get ready to present the word of God is not because who's in the room, but because I want to make sure I don't mishandle the word of God. I don't care who T.D. Jakes can walk in here right now. I ain't going to change the way I preach. I tell him to have a seat. Scripture told us to do something. Scripture said, don't look at their faces. Diane, do you know if you try to look at folks' faces when you get up to sing a solo, you'll throw the mic down and run out the back door? The way people look at you. Am I right, Sister Peggy? I'd have quit a long time ago if I had to go by how some of y'all look. You talking about he dropped them? Boom. It's a one in the choir. I ain't stopped singing a long time ago. The way some of y'all look. But thank God we have the word of God. God said, don't look at their faces. Sometimes you got to look at something on the wall. Look at the light. Look at something. Make them think you're looking at them, but really you ain't looking at them. Looking at saints can sometimes become a discouragement. But that's why Paul, he wraps it all up. And he says, our service got to be acceptable to God, not acceptable unto man. Man will put expectations on you that you can't reach. You try to reach man's expectation, you're going to be broke. Come on here. Don't be concerned about what other people think. Just make sure you're doing what God has called you to do. Can I get an amen on that one? And tell your neighbor, make sure. Just make sure you do. Amen. God tell you to do something and it's in order. Don't be worrying about what nobody else going to think about it. If you wait on the deacons to move to raise the offering, we ain't going to never get an offering. Y'all ain't going to talk back here to me. Do whatever your hands find to do. We done set up here and program this church to the point until if you don't hold a certain position, you ain't supposed to do a certain thing. The devil is a lie. Everybody that's saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost have the power and the authority, and you've been deputized to do something in the service of God. Only the missionaries are supposed to do that. They ain't even here. So if the missionary is supposed to do it, only the elder. Well, if elder ain't here, who's supposed to do it? Do that mean it don't get done? Uh-oh, y'all don't like this. I didn't know you don't like this. We've been in the church for so long and only certain people did certain things, you know. And because certain people only did certain things, you better not mess it up. Sister Teresa better not dare try to serve communion. If she's holy, she can hold the communion. They used to teach us, don't let nobody touch those trays. Don't let nobody touch those trays. They were serving communion up there in St. Louis to 40,000 people. Do you know how long it would have taken if they didn't let us touch those trays? By passing them down the aisle and passing it down the next aisle. If your hands are holy, what difference does it make? If you're clean, you're getting ready to take the communion, ain't you? So if you're clean enough to take it, you ought to be clean enough to hold it. Well, you can't stand today for communion because you don't have on white. What if they make because you got on white, but you got a bad attitude? You got white, but you robbing God. I'd rather you have on purple and be holy, be faithful to the service of God, and your heart is right. Your mind is right because it's been transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, well, let me quit. But I got to get to this part. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Too much world in the church. I'm going to say it. It's too much world in the church. We're supposed to be setting the example for the world, not trying to include the world into the church. Y'all don't like this. That's okay. He said, don't be conformed to this world. Churches are now set up on the basis of worldly thinking, worldly interests, worldly attitudes. What can we do? Y'all ain't talking about it to me. What can we do to promote this? The other thing, I went to a play and saw him dancing on Silent Night. What happened? It's a Silent Night. Y'all remember that? Holy Night. Y'all help me. All is come. All is. Ooh, ain't that touching? Round your virgin mother and child. Close your eyes. Holy infant. Yeah, beautiful that sound. Tender and sleeping heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly. Ooh, that was touching, wasn't it? Wasn't that touching? But in order to get the crowd now, Silent Night. Holy Night. All is calm. All is bright. Round the virgin mother and child. Y'all ain't got to talk back here to me. Y'all ain't got to talk back to me. Y'all ain't got to, that's what they want now. Let's draw the youth. That's what we got to do. Now. Times no. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The Holy Ghost said, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Singing hymns, making melody in your heart. Jenny, we've taken hymns out of the church. They're old and foggy and old-fashioned. I want to go to church, but they got live music and blue lights, spotlights going. Because, you know, they make you feel like you're still in the world. Y'all ain't talking back here to me. You still got that stuff in you. You still got it in you, see. But the Bible says sing hymns. Make melody in your heart. That's scripture, isn't it? Be transformed by the renewing. Let me close tonight with the word. Here's the word. Introduction. I told you I stayed up late. Here's the word. God says, and y'all know I don't say God said. You know that. You ain't never too much heard me say God said nothing. Because I believe Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah said, woe to them that say that I said something and I didn't say it. So I make sure. Sometimes I say it's in my spirit. Come on, I get around that, God said. But as long as it kept me up last night, I know this is what God said. Hear what God says. He's going to transform us to perform. He that hath begun, this is just a scripture, nothing new, a good work in you, he's going to perform it. Now watch this. The first thing is, he's got to transform us to get ready to perform in us what he's already started. Now, I don't care how long you've been saved. What's this? Here's the word. God says there are some things that's within us that is undeveloped. And he said in 2017, he's going to develop those things. Watch this. Hear it. But it's only doing and after the transformation process. In my dream, I saw this. I was talking to you, Sister Lori, in my dream. I said, God says, in the dream, said, you ain't been going through what you've been going through. Mother, father, work, home life. Whole nine yards for nothing. He said, it ain't for nothing. But he said, down on the inside, there's some things that's yet undeveloped. And he's going to develop them in 2017. And the development process, watch this, is for his glory. It ain't for us. It ain't for a bigger house. It ain't for more cars. It ain't for more money. Everybody ain't going to catch this. This word is for everybody that's in here. Hallelujah. God knew who he wanted to have in this church. Janet, I was talking to you in the dream. I was talking to you in the dream. Some more folk who ain't here today. The devil let some stuff happen, you see, so that they couldn't hear this word. But I'm going to tell you something. In the dream, Lord, you ain't been going through all them transitions you've been going through for nothing. There's something down on the inside. That's undeveloped. And God said in 2017, he's going to develop it. But it's got to be for his glory. He spoke to me and I said, wait, Lord. I was talking back to God. I said, wait, Lord, now. I've been preaching for 40 years. I've been pastoring for 25 years. God almost said, shut up. He said, because there's some steel inside of you that's undeveloped. And if you're willing to be transformed, y'all ain't gonna talk back here to me. Oh thank you Jesus. He said if you're willing to be transformed,
I was thinking about quitting and retiring after a long time. Come on, I was thinking about going to get another church. Y'all ain't talking back here to me. But God said there's some stuff down in you that's undeveloped. And if you're willing to be transformed in 2017, whew, I'm going to develop it. Seen you, Sheena. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Elliot, I saw you in the dream. Thank you, Jesus. There's more. It's undeveloped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And here what the Lord said years ago, Charlie Watkins called you. He said Charlie Watkins was the one that called you. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm talking about, because the Holy Ghost has confirmation. But you know what he said? Inside of you, there's some that's undeveloped. And if you're willing to be transformed, I ain't trying to make no preacher out of you. I ain't trying to make no deacon out of you. Ooh, glory be to God. I just want whatever God says that's down inside of you that's undeveloped. Ooh, glory be to God. I want God to develop it. Somebody clap those hands. In the dream, Elimation, in the vision, whatever I was having. It was a long service that day. I'm cutting the service short. It was long. It was about a 4-hour service last night. Elimation, this is just the way it happened. Last night, I'm stripping you from the Dad Mason title. Don't nobody else call him Dad Mason. Hello here. That self that want to, that self that want to be gratified, that I've been doing this a long time, man, and I think I deserved it. God says, you ain't no longer Dad Mason. You are Elder Mason. And as long as you've been doing what you're doing, God said there's still some stuff that's undeveloped. There's a reason why you're reading more. There's a reason why you're writing more. That ain't just coming to you. God said in 2017, if we're willing to be transformed, that which is undeveloped, he's going to develop it. He said that you ain't got to fight for it. You ain't going to have to argue about it. You ain't going to have to bash heads with nobody. You ain't got to ask for it. God's going to just do it. I don't know how. Woo. I don't know how. I don't know when in 2017. But God's going to develop. Oh, I might as well just say it all. I ain't scared of the devil. I saw some development in some folk that they was able to even get off their job. And you was going to make more money off your job. But it was going to be for God's glory. It was going to be just for God's glory. All of this got to be for God's glory. Thank you. Okay, nobody do you like the Lord? All right, I'm done. Listen. How I know it was God, and I said, normally there's a certain person who calls me. I try to be very nice to them. But that particular situation ain't quite what I think it ought to be. Once again, what I think it ought to be. So I'm not rude to them. But I just don't like to spend a whole lot of time talking to them. Yeah. I just don't. Some of y'all looking at me like, is that right, Pastor? You the same way, so be quiet. Yeah. Listen. But this person called me a couple of times. And I had a whole different spirit about it. The Lord, I said, Lord, what you doing to me? I'm serious, Elder Mason. Had a whole different spirit. To the point that when I hung up, I found myself, rather than talking about that person, I found myself praying. Lord, stir him up. Draw him before it's too late. Let's let whatever been instilled within them. As a child, God, come on up. Let it rise. Let it rise. Let it rise. God said if we're willing to transform, he's willing to perform that which he has started. Every believer in here today, God started something in you. If you are saved, you were saved. God started something in you. And now what he's saying, I want to perform it. That's all God is saying. All God is saying is, please, let me perform it. And God said, in order for me to perform it, I must transform you. I got to transform. I didn't say you wasn't saved. I didn't say you're not going to heaven. But I don't know about you, but I want all that God has for me. I want real joy. I want real peace. I want real satisfaction. And you know what? You're going to lose some friends. You're going to make some enemies. Some things you're just going to have to walk away from. I'm telling y'all, you ain't listening here to me. Some things God want to see. Are you willing to walk away from that thing? Or do you, is your trust so much in that particular thing until you're telling God, no, you're going to have to work around this? God is saying, I don't work around nothing. I am God, and beside me, there is no another. If it's becoming a hindrance, you got to just let it go. You got to trust God. You got to just trust God. Just going to have to believe God. Everybody stand. I've held you long enough. I'm going to transform